everyone, and welcome back to Real Time Crime. I'm one of your hosts, Leah Lamar, and we have with us our wonderful, beautiful co-host,
Teddy Mellencamp. Well, thank you so much for the positive intro today. I have to be honest, I'm a little down in the dumps today.
I know. I wanted to kind of just hop right into this special Halloween flavored episode. Let me live. But I do feel like we have some pressing issues we should discuss before we go into the Halloween murders.
You mean my day so far?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So pretty much today, as you know, I woke up, it was like a normal day, worked out, took the kids to the bus. And then all of a sudden I started getting these text messages from people like, is Dorit okay? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I saw the news outlets that her house had been broken into, and just her kids were home, and that she was robbed. And so I spent the morning over there at her house, and I don't want to share anything private from her end, but it's just one of those things that's just so heartbreaking. And I know when people say that you're on a reality TV show, like you signed up for this, and that's the part that's so devastating, is like nobody signs up to be violated in that way. And it's just so, so frightening, especially involving your kids. And, you know, she's just so strong, and my heart breaks for her. And of course, like I have to like get in an Instagram fight with somebody over it, because I saw that a girl that used to be on The Housewives posted something that put a portion of her address on it. And I was just like, why do that? And I mean, I think we talk so much about real crimes here, but like people really do go on Instagram to try to get information on people. So it's like, you don't need, like, people, whenever they get mad and they post somebody's phone number, they post a part of an address, it's like, you don't know what the repercussions could actually be. And it's just, it's really sad. And I think, you know, we talk about a lot of crimes here, and we'd love to dig into it, but no matter what, like, I would never in a million years think to try to, like, is it dox someone? Is that what it's called? I mean, because people, you know, robbers, anybody, they know how to find extra information. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, it made me sad. And it made just like the intrusion on her privacy, but also just how scared she must have been. And like, yeah, so that's been my day, which is obviously a much worse day for her. But I don't know, it just made me feel sad. But it also made me think about like all the different ways that we all have to protect ourselves in this city, like turning our alarms on, being there, like just because crime is prevalent no matter where, like no matter if we're sleuths and we're digging into it, it can happen to anyone at any time. And it doesn't mean that just because you're in the public eye. Yeah, that's really
well. But Teddy,
dun, dun, dun.
You are a great friend, and through it all your hair looks amazing. Ugh. Which I think needs to be said.
Thanks.
And we have one of our producers, Dimitri, here with us, who hasn't commented on your hair yet. I just wanted to point that out. Oh. But
I want to thank you for that segue. Teddy, you have beautiful hair. And our producer, Dimitri, is here, who doesn't have hair.
Maybe that's why I didn't compliment, because he's like, do you want to borrow some of its extensions? You can borrow some of mine.
I think even if I had complimented your hair, which I think looks fantastic, at some point, I think Leah would have taken me down and been like, well, what do you know about hair? So that's why I reserved comments.
You know what? I'm really looking forward to all of the comments that say those vapid bitches. Speaking of nightmares, my ex-boyfriend called, so that's where I'm at. Should also be considered a crime.
Which one?
I mean, the list is long. I posted a tweet as a joke that said Squid Game, except all the players are my exes. And I meant it in the fact that all of my ex-boyfriends were poor. But everyone just took it as the fact that I've dated 456 people.
But don't they know the number is significantly higher? Like that is, I mean,
okay, well, that's the clip
rude.
Right there. All right.
Well,
Teddy, Mama 4 calls Leah Lamar, eh?
Okay. Come on, Leah.
We're
going to claim it's 3 like everybody else.
No, it's 4,560. They just missed a zero there. Just one decimal over.
She's the Cal Ripken of dating, the Iron Man over here.
Thank you, Dimitri.
You're welcome.
Great Iron Man reference.
not Iron Man, the DC. I'm just saying that you, when you're crossing that you've dated 4,000 guys.
I'm an Olympian.
Yeah.
That is somewhat criminal that you've dated 4,000 and yet we still have to call all of them an ex.
It's criminal that I've dated over 4,000 people and I'm still single.
That's my point.
Not one ring.
You know what? Don't show your ring on here. No ring showing.
Oh, God. Okay. Teddy's going to be over at my house and be like, oh, okay. Anyway, you guys, what are you going for Halloween? What's your costume?
Well, are we talking to me? I mean, we'll talk to Dimitri later. So
Yeah. We haven't let Dimitri. We haven't announced that he's allowed to speak. He's just spoken.
He's just taken it upon himself. Well, for what I'm doing an adult thing one time and it's a fire and ice theme. Mm. So I'm going to be fire and my husband's going to be ice, even though he told me I picked him out a terrible costume. And then with the kids, Slate is going to be Cruella and then we're all her Dalmatians.
Wait, I'm devastated because I'm going as Cruella and I have been waiting for 101 men to volunteer to go as Dalmatian.
With your track record, you should be able to find them easy.
I feel like you could just cast some out. Like,
just pay them each a dollar and they'd come running. Oh, I'm devastated to hear this news. I thought it was a really original idea.
Yep.
Well,
apparently it wasn't. Cruella was a big movie this year. It was, you know, had a good soundtrack. I know.
Well, this is the first time I feel like I'm going as a hot villain. You know, every year I try to go with something creative. And this year I decided to just go hot. Which is exciting
for
me.
That's exciting. It leads to a lot more opportunity.
Which apparently
you can get into the 5,000.
I think those numbers are going up.
I always think it's weird when people are like, ooh, look at that sexy cow. Or, like, you know, it's like,
did
I don't
you say
you
sexy cow?
That's what I heard.
Cat. But
I was like, oh, her udders.
I feel personally victimized by that comment.
We should start the show soon.
We have to start. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dimitri. Did you have a thought about how we're running our podcast? Thank you so much.
No, I was just trying to save us from going down a part that's going to be cut out.
Should we talk? Yeah. Very true. He's like, guys, let's save the editing for later. All right. The first one we got to talk about is Ronald O'Brien has been called the man who killed Halloween. And the Candyman. On Halloween in 1974, an 8-year-old Timothy O'Brien returned to his Houston home from a long night of trick-or-treating. His father, Ronald, gave him one last piece of candy, a pixie stick, which of course Timothy ate instantly. Within moments, the boy was vomiting and he died on the way to the hospital. After changing his story multiple times, police learned that Ronald was responsible for his son's death as he had poisoned the candy with cyanide. How sick is that?
Psychopath.
Like, so, and it turned out that he had a life insurance policy on his child.
That's next level. I mean, also, how can you be called the man who killed Halloween if Halloween is alive and well?
Well, I mean, he killed on Halloween. Maybe they just forgot the on.
Also, so you guys know about Candyman. If you say Candyman five times in the mirror, what happens, right?
Michael Keaton appears.
Ha ha.
Oh, now they have to keep it in.
I know, otherwise the
twice.
Callback won't make sense. Thank you, Dimitri.
It's what I do.
Really appreciate you. But, you know, a man with a bloody hook comes and murders you.
Isn't that what you say? I thought it was like you say something red. I don't know, you like turn
that's
around.
That's a different one.
What is that one?
I think that's Red Rum or like Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah, Red Rum. Yeah, or Bloody Mary. I don't know. But either way.
All the fun ways to get married. I mean, married. Murdered.
It's kind of the same thing.
How I view marriage.
I think that might be the saddest thing we're going to hear today. That slip up.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's one.
Okay, that's number one. All right,
you got to do number two because I can't pronounce the last name properly.
Oh, and you think I can? All right, well, here we go.
I'd rather you mess it up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Leah Lamar. I'm here to mess everything up today. All right. So our second Halloween murder, two friends, Leslie Ann Mazzara and Adrian Insogne. I had to add the hand motions. Really? They were stabbed late one Halloween night. Okay. Leslie and Adrian and their friend Lauren Mianza Did this happen in Italy? Okay. We're busy handing out candy to trick-or-treaters in Napa, California. This is Halloween night, 2004. Mianza awoke to a scream from the upstairs bedrooms. And you know what she does, Teddy?
What?
She runs out of the house and drives away, leaving her friends behind.
Leah, I feel like you would do that to me.
Thank you so much. I would. But also, she has no survivor's guilt. She was just like, I'm out of here. She didn't even try to see what was wrong or save her friends. What if they just had a bad nightmare, you know? But instead, she decided to bounce. Okay. So they were both 26. They were stabbed to death. And Eric Matthew Coppola, I don't know if it's Italian, just felt like I had to do it that way. A friend of one of the victims turned himself in and confessed to the murders. So not really a friend. He never told anyone his motive, which is so odd, especially because, you know, a lot of people who there are a lot of people who come forward about murders who aren't actually the murderers. So this is kind of like a strange one because it seems like he might not even have been the murderer.
Seems like a strange thing to confess, especially because he's spending a life sentence without the possibility of parole.
Right. But he didn't even have a motive. So it's just, I mean, it's kind of an odd case. But also that woman is the worst friend ever. Like if I was an employer and I Googled her name and saw she just bounced on her friends.
I feel like he had to have a motive. He just didn't share. Maybe it was a lover's quarrel, allegedly. Who knows?
Oh, lover's quarrel.
Yeah, like it could have been that they were all mixed up in something together. Who knows?
Must have been nice to be in love.
Well, not on this Halloween night.
Not on this Halloween night.
With Leslie Ann and Adrian.
I can't wait to hear the Valentine's show. Jeez.
Well, Dimitri, do you want to take on William?
Leah, do I have your permission?
Thank you for clearing your throat, Dimitri. We really needed to hear the phlegm. Go on.
There was no phlegm. William Liskey killed his family members on Halloween. In 2010, 16-year-old Devin Griffin came home on Halloween to play video games after attending church. They're always coming home from church. And spending the previous night sleeping out. He noticed the Michigan home was too quiet, so he went to check on his family members. According to the Sandusky Register, Griffin proceeded to find his stepfather in bed covered in blood. When police arrived, they found two more bodies, Griffin's mother and brother. Police eventually learned the murderer was Griffin's stepbrother, William Liskey. Liskey pleaded guilty to 3 counts of aggravated murder to avoid the death penalty, but was found dead in his jail cell in 2015 from a self-inflicted wound.
I just have to say, it's always too quiet in the suburbs. Wherever you are. You know what I mean? It's always scary. And I just feel like I'm never safe. Like, there are too many crazy people in the city. But then when you go to the suburbs to get away from all the crazy people, it's too quiet and that's creepy. You know, it's like, where are you safe? On a spaceship with Jeff Bezos and Mars?
I definitely don't think so.
Really?
No.
I would let him impregnate me.
Of course you would. You're like, what's his name's wife? You're like Robert Durst's wife.
Yeah, I'm just worried about the money. I'm like, and don't let that man be a lawyer. He'll take all the money. I love that woman, by the way.
I remember, and I'll never forget.
Go after my own heart.
I can't.
After this episode, no one will ever marry me.
Well, after what you suggesting that we do this episode and me not knowing anything about the Cecil Hotel and having to learn everything about it in the past 48 hours, I am so beyond obsessed. Teddy, I feel like...
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to break up with me, but you went the other way.
No, I loved this one.
Oh, then you're welcome.
Loved. Some of the others, it was a little hard for me, but
oh my God.
Absolutely loved this one. Do you like...
Well, so really briefly, so this is not a Halloween murder, but this is this is Hotel Halloween. There's always a murder happening at this hotel. So when you watched the documentary, first of all, they call it Hotel Death. The fact that there's a question of, is there a room that someone hasn't died in? You don't want to be asking that question or receiving that question, especially as the manager of the hotel. Why would you continue to work there?
While you're talking about the manager of the hotel, she gave me some real shady vibes.
Shady AF.
Like, just even the way she talked about it. And then she kept calling the hotel a her. I'm like, how do you know?
Yeah. Did you ask the hotel its pronouns?
Like, I just don't believe that you know. And I thought beyond shady was that they, okay, so to let you guys know, the hotel was super dangerous. Multiple crimes happened within this hotel. So what they did was, because they got so many bad reviews, they created another hotel inside of this hotel with a different entrance that was called, what was it called, Leah?
Stay on Main.
Stay on Main. But the worst part about it is they still had to share a hotel. I mean, an elevator.
Wait, okay. First of all, let me just say the Cecil Hotel is in downtown LA right next to Skid Row. And it is essentially haunted, right? So many people have committed suicide there. Serial killers have lived there, like Richard Ramirez, which we'll get into in a second. And the funny thing is that the actual lobby is so beautiful and the outside of the building is beautiful. And on the inside, it's filled with murderers. It's kind of like, well, me.
The lobby is beautiful, but then the rooms, yeah. The rooms are disgusting.
Yeah, the Cecil Hotel is just like me. Looks fine on the outside, but on the inside is a big old mess.
Just
with
dead.
Disturbed people.
Dead on the inside.
Yeah, very dead on the inside.
Full of problems.
Full of problems.
And over 4,000 men have stayed there.
No, over 4,000 killer men have stayed there.
Oh, I almost just said something very disturbing, but it would have gotten cut. But, God, I hate censoring myself. Look, first of all, I'll just say this. I think that if you love shopping, you go to the mall. If you love murder, you go to the Hotel Cecil.
Some of these people were not even meaning to stay at the Hotel Cecil. Like Elisa Lam, for example, she thought she was staying on Main. And then the hotel even flagged her as somebody with concerning behavior and moved her out of her shared living area into her own room. So Hotel Cecil / Stay on Main knew that things were not good.
Well, let's just dive right into the Elisa Lam case.
Okay, good.
It is absolutely disturbing. For those of you who know nothing about this case, so essentially, we'll just say that they chalked up her death to mental illness and accidental suicide. However, there are a lot of conspiracy theories about her death. So she was Canadian and she moved to the States where she was going to be a student. And she stayed at the Cecil Hotel downtown because it was affordable. And just like Teddy said, she was in a shared room and she had a lot of odd behavior. And so she was put in her own private room. If you have odd behavior at the Cecil Hotel, you're probably a murderer.
Things fit right
in, honestly. Yeah. I mean, the fact that they're saying that she was disturbing people lets me know that she was probably
at that point. Shouldn't the manager of the hotel, if you have to do that, then maybe call the authorities and alert them, or maybe talk.
Well, it seems like they weren't really alerting the authorities when they had a serial killer on their premises. So kind of seems like a safe place for people who are unwell.
The part that made me really sad is she was really on, was it Tumblr? She was on Tumblr a lot and she was sharing her emotions and sharing like how she was struggling mentally and certain medications would work. And then she'd have days where she couldn't leave her bed. And so it's like there was multiple cries for help.
She was also diagnosed bipolar.
Correct. And then unable to find a medication that is able to help her. And but the one thing that they didn't mention in the documentary is if you stop a medication immediately, you have suicidal tendencies. Antidepressant. I've been on antidepressants before and when you're going off, they make you taper off in a certain way because if not, it creates
withdrawal.
not just withdrawal, but like it says, like one of the side effects can be suicidal thoughts. So, I mean, you've got to explain the elevator and what happened in the elevator and her missing. And then we can get back. I know. And then we'll get more into, you know, of course, what I think.
As someone who will probably never be off antidepressants, first of all, let me just say, very pro taking care of your mental health. Therapy, psychiatry, whatever works for you, but don't do nothing. That's my advice. I think getting help is 100% the right way to go and does not make you weak. I think it makes you much stronger. Thank God for Dr. Kleinberg, Dr. Feldstein. I'm just naming Jews. They're not actually my doctor, but I, you know, all the people in my life who keep me medicated and alive. Love to all of you. You know who you are. Okay, so first of all, Elisa Lam's death, is still very odd and suspicious, right? The toxicology tests and the autopsy came back saying that she didn't have any drugs in her system, and they ruled it an accidental drowning, and they found her body in a water tank at the roof of the building, and people only realized because their water started turning brown and people started complaining, and they were literally drinking water with a rotting human corpse in it.
Okay. But then there's more.
That is just the tip of the iceberg. First of all, it would take so much for her to accidentally drop into the water tank. And also, she was found without her clothes on in the water tank. A lot of people say that when you start to have hypothermia, you actually take your clothes off.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's not just, you know, you don't feel like getting naked. Well, that's also when you're in an igloo, you're supposed to take your clothes off.
But also if you're trying to get out of something.
Dimitri, why are you smiling like that?
Because I feel like it's about to go into, I once dated an Eskimo and that's what he told me. Sorry, that's just where I saw it.
Now it's going to go there, but we may have gotten through it without.
Yeah, honestly, it wasn't even my fault. Yeah,
I only speak when spoken to.
Thank you.
Misreported, and they said in like the news reports that the water tank was open, but it was actually closed. So that misreporting was actually a big snafu. And they have footage of her in the elevator where she walks into the elevator and she almost looks calm at first, but then all of a sudden you see her like pressing all the buttons and doing these things with her hands. And then they show a clip of the elevator door closing and her whipping her head around. But then it looks like part of the footage has been taken out. Mm-hmm. Like you see it start to close and then see another person near
her. It's sped up. They've completely made the timestamp unreadable so that you can't even see what time it's at. There are theories that you see a shoe, like the heel of another person's shoe in the footage briefly. And also, I do want to just go back for 2 seconds because I feel like we missed a couple of essential moments. So Elisa on Tumblr also mentioned, you know, that she was going out and meeting people. And we also know that the hotel was filled with questionable characters. So we don't know if she was romantically involved with someone. We don't know if there was someone in the hotel who was chasing her. We don't know if she was just off her meds and actually having a complete breakdown. But what happened the night of her disappearance was that the last tape that they have of her is her going into the elevator, acting suspicious, which we'll come back to in a second, and then disappearing. And then there's no more footage of her. But then several weeks later, they find her dead body in a water tank. And the only way for her to have gotten onto the hotel roof undetected, she would have either gone through a locked and alarmed door, but the alarm never went off, or through a fire escape on the side of the building. Then she would have had to climb to the top of the water tank platform up a 10-foot ladder and then lifted a super heavy water tank lid and then sliding inside and then somehow latching it closed, but it was open. There are a lot of details that seem left out and complicated. And also, it just seems very difficult to do all of that and have it just be by yourself and not assisted by another person. But they never found evidence of DNA of anyone else around. And it probably would have had to just be a solo act.
And while we're on the topic of some of the different conspiracy theories, there was a man who stayed in the hotel, Cecil, and he was like, I'm going to maybe say this wrong, but he was a musician, but it was like, he was the type of musician where he was like, it was very bloody and gory. And he was like, he came through and did an interview in the documentary. And he said that he started being accused of the person that did the murder because he stayed in the hotel, and nobody did enough research to realize that he stayed in the hotel a year prior to her even being there. They would never even overlap time frames, but he was then accused of being the person that murdered her. And it got to the point where he was so attacked, and so people were just, you know, all over him, that he got to the point where he tried to commit suicide, and then he had to be institutionalized. So that's where they also say that, like, if you stay in that hotel, there's just so much that carries. Yeah, you're cursed. But also where this conspiracy theory has led to somebody else having major mental health issues. And he didn't even know her.
I just want to say, this is very 2021 of you to make a case about a woman about a man that has nothing to do with this. Dimitri is dying inside. I'm watching him wanting to say anything, but in true 2021 fashion, Dimitri has not been given permission to speak yet.
Or he's just smart enough to know when to speak and when not to.
Oh my gosh. 2020 of me. I can't.
All right. Okay.
Sips water.
Sips water. Let's go. Yeah. Little water break. Okay. Let's go back to the elevator. So the elevator footage is the last footage they have of her alive. And like I said, and like you've mentioned, the tape was obviously tampered with. The timestamp is unreadable, which is done intentionally. There is clearly pieces of footage removed from it. And we can't tell at what pace the footage is. Because if you play it at different speeds, it could seem normal. And if you play it at other speeds, it seems super abnormal. So the elevator footage shows her going into the elevator, pushing a bunch of buttons, already bizarre, right? She looks out the elevator. She moves back into a corner. Then she steps outside, waves her hands about kind of in like a weird majestic way where it looks like she's conjuring a spirit. Something odd is happening. The hand gestures are weird. The elevator doesn't go anywhere. So we don't know if that means someone's pushing the elevator button, holding it there. We actually have a lot of answers. We actually have a lot of questions and no answers is what I meant to say. Okay. And then I don't think at any point she seems scared, but we do see her kind of speaking and jumping out of the elevator and then vanishing.
But yes, you have to note the speaking thing. Her parents said that that is something that had happened with her in the past, mm-hmm. when she was struggling and she would go off her medication. She would start to have a psychosis where she thought she saw things. And so anything is possible, but we have to show all the sides.
And, you know, we appreciate the fact that you are emotionally available enough to share all the sides, because I am not. I am not. Okay. So now one of the theories is, and if you go on Reddit and you're a Redditor like me, you will notice that the elevator game is something that everyone brings up. What is the elevator game, you ask? Thank you so much for asking. I really appreciate it. So the elevator game originated in Korea, and it's actually a game that's played 33,000 times a month. And now when I tell you what it is, you're going to wonder why there are 33,000 disturbed people out there trying to play this game. Okay. The elevator game is a game where you have to play A, alone, and B, you have to play with a building that has at least 10 stories in it and has an elevator. That's the bare minimum.
Okay.
And if you ascend and descend in a very specific order in the elevator to certain floors, there is a chance that you get transported to another dimension. Now, this other dimension, what is it like, you ask? Not heaven. It is literally hell. So people have said that when you get out on the 10th floor, which if you make it to the 10th floor, the elevator will choose whether or not you get to go to this other dimension. If you go there, there's a red glowing cross in the distance. It's super dark. It seems like our world, but slightly different. And there's nothing to gain besides being lost in this other dimension and just knowing that it exists. There are literally no pros.
I'm good on this.
Cons. Teddy, I'm asking you not to do this.
I this is a no for me on all counts.
My ex, let me just share really quickly.
Can we give your ex's names? Like just even fake ones? Because I mean, like my not ex makes 4,000. It seem like there's one person. And like we clearly it's not.
Maybe we pick the top five and just name them.
The funny thing is that like I really haven't dated that many people. Sure.
And I'm a natural blonde. Come on. Natural blonde, and I've never had Botox. Continue.
See, this is okay. One of those times where I'm not supposed to say anything, so I won't.
Thank you, Dimitri. So I was telling my ex about this game, and we just talked about it, and he refused to tell me that he wouldn't not play it. So I was begging him. I was like, I'm just telling you about it, but I'm not telling you to do it. Please don't do it. Do not play this game. Whatever you do, do not play this game. And he could not be talked out of it. He didn't end up playing it, but he did end up in the hospital with a bowel obstruction.
Oh, no, not this again.
That's worse than the other dimension. But hold on. Who's telling us what this looks like?
He got sent to a bowel dimension.
Are these people like, do people come back from this? Like, how do we know what they see? The whole thing sounds ridiculous.
And he didn't even play it, but something bad happened to him. So we'll tell you a little bit more about the game, but please don't play the game. Don't go looking for.
I'm worried. Remember when we were younger and we like taught ourselves how to faint, and then everybody's like, "Whatever you do, don't do the fainting game."
What then childhood did you have?
You guys never did this?
No.
It was like a big thing. Well, I'm so much older than you, but in the 80s where you'd like lean over and you'd go, and then you have your friend push on you and then you faint. It was like a big thing. We had to have like a memo go out in our school that like we were not, if we found out that any of us were making each other faint, that we would get suspended.
Did anyone die from that?
No one that I know, but then it came out that somebody died. So then we all stopped. But I mean, what the hell? But that's what I'm worried. Like people hear it and try things, but thankfully, I don't think this exists, this dimension going to a new dimension.
I think the obstructed bowel is enough to scare enough people off from not trying this. If the alternate dimension didn't, that will.
Well, was it the alternate dimension or did he just swallow his feelings for me?
I think you're so blinded by love that you're willing to give that. Maybe he just had a bowel obstruction. Like you're willing to give him.
Maybe he just needed to go
this.
Poo. Maybe he had like a gerbil fetish.
I mean, okay, gross. Number one, number
that
two.
Was in the press too a lot. Don't act like you don't remember that story.
As someone who has maybe allegedly had sex with this person, I don't think he has a gerbil fetish. Allegedly, but I'm disturbed. I don't know if I can go on.
I think that might be best.
Well, I think we have to end with Hotel Cecil. But I have to ask you guys: if they reopen, would you guys ever stay there?
No.
Okay.
I would go, Dimitri? If we went and did a podcast from there, I would do that. But I wouldn't just like go there by myself.
But
like,
we couldn't above the room. Apparently the higher up the rooms, the more dangerous the place was. And the less the police would come if they said this was like on the 10th floor, the 11th floor or whatever, because that they got more dangerous and they were more less expensive, the higher up.
Can I just really briefly say, if you Google the elevator game and you check out what people have said, they're like, I'm haunted. I'm so fucked. Help me. Let me just. So I'm not going to tell you what order to go in the elevators. But all I will tell you is that apparently. You get onto the 5th floor and you are not supposed to look at a woman who gets on the elevator. She may or may not get on the elevator, but if she does, you are not allowed to look at her. And if you look at her, you're f***ed. And apparently, She may or may not appear as someone you know. She'll try to talk to you. She might ask for help. She might start screaming. You don't know how she'll appear. But once you look at her, you're basically like damned for eternity. And there are lots of people on YouTube who claim to be doing this game, but none of your electronics will work. And if they bring electronics in, then it doesn't actually work. So especially if you go into
there's
this
no
alternate
proof
dimension.
Is what they're saying. I really...
But people say that this woman, they think... So essentially they go to the 10th floor or not, but they go back to the first floor and you get let out. And then your everyday life is haunted if you have played the game wrong.
And they say it on the internet. So, I mean, who's to say it's not true?
Everything on the internet's true. Yes. 1,000,000%.
That's where I have problems with these things.
Leah's upset that we don't believe.
But the internet's word is bond.
When people say, if you go to the fifth floor, a woman may or may not appear. It's like, anytime you leave it may or may not, it's like, okay, so you could just be making it up.
Yeah, but that's like, I may or may not come to the dinner you invited me to. But
did the elevator game start at the Hotel Cecil?
No, it started in Korea many, many moons ago. It's just something that they thought she was playing. They thought she was playing. So when she was speaking, they thought that she was speaking to the woman on the fifth floor. And we couldn't see her. And that she entered and that she was raptured, I guess, or taken by this evil demon and then put into the water tank and murdered by this evil spirit.
Do you also find it odd that the Night Stalker stayed at the Hotel Cecil?
Yeah, I find it odd that Richard Ramirez stayed at the Hotel
Cecil. Isn't it Ramirez?
Can you let me be wrong?
No. Ramirez.
God, I'm going
Richard Ramirez?
I mean, that guy would come back to the hotel covered in blood. He was sentenced to death 19 times. Like, if you've been sentenced to death 19 times, pretty sure you're going straight to hell.
And I just looked it up. He died in 2003 of cancer.
Yeah. He might actually be Satan himself.
He was... they did a bunch of movies on him where they made him really look like he was really good looking, too.
Why do they always do that?
I don't
know.
They
always glamorize murder.
I absolutely do not understand.
I mean, speaking of hot, I wish I didn't think Ed Gein was hot.
Stop. I can't with Ed Gein. I know. I like the transition, though, but I really... there were parts when I was listening, and now I'm going to regret saying this. There was parts when I started listening to some of the podcasts about Ed Gein and reading about him where I felt really sad the way he was raised. Do you guys know who Ed Gein is? I'm sure Leah wants to do his official intro.
No. We all know who Ed Gein is, but I do think, and by we all know, I mean not all of us know. And Teddy, we would love for you to introduce him to us. However, I think let's just take a quick break and then we'll come back to Ed Gein. How does that sound for everyone?
That sounds good.
Okay, time to go pee pee. BRB. Sorry, Dimitri.
I mean, we could just say we're taking a break and whatever you need to do during that time is cool. We don't have to say that.
But maybe some people need to go to the bathroom.
Like your ex-boyfriend with the bowel obstruction.
He couldn't go to the bathroom. Hmm. He was constipated. Oh. That's how I know we were just like old frat brothers. I'm like, you're letting me know you can't go to the bathroom? I mean, this is just, it's over. The romance is dead.
So, guys, we're back and we're all having a little laugh because I was chatting with them about how disgusting this picture was of me that was posted. And Lee was like, I think you look good. And I said, I look like one of Ed Gein's lampshades. For those of you who don't know, Ed Gein, well, his backstory was he grew up in a repressive household controlled by a dominant mother. Following her death in 1945, his mental health got worse and worse, and Gein was apprehended as a suspect in a 1957 murder. The investigation of his home yielded a highly disturbed man who kept human organs and fashion clothing and accessory out of body parts and skin. Yeah, he spent the rest of his life institutionalized. His story began fueling the inspiration of such famous movie characters as Norman Bates, from Psycho, Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs, and Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is why we're talking about this on our Halloween episode, because how creepy is that? And also feel free to weigh in if you guys think that my face looks like one of Ed Gein's lampshades.
Oh, maybe he was just very fashion forward.
I think Ed Gein would love to have your type of face on a lampshade, but I don't think he
did. God, Dimitri.
Dimitri, is this compliment Teddy Day?
It is, yeah.
Is this compliment Teddy in the scariest way possible?
Lampshade kind of.
In fairness, you set the conversation up this way. It's not like I was like, hey, do you want to talk about human lampshades? You guys said it there, and I just said that you're better.
You're making it seem like you have no control over your thoughts and words.
What should I say here?
Wait, okay. Also, I want to highlight the fact that Ed Gein had a very controlling religious mother. Because I do think that I will be this type of mother, and therefore I probably shouldn't have children.
But you said that you hated the suburbs, so you couldn't. She moved their family out from like even like a little small town that they lived in, out to like far, far, far into this farm area where she was controlling. He wasn't allowed to have friends. Anytime he brought a friend over, she would tell him all the reasons why they couldn't be friends. So the only person he really had any relationship was with her. And he had an alcoholic father who, correct me if I'm wrong, ended up passing away. Or no longer lived with, I can't even remember. But the point is like, which always brings me back to the other questions of like, was he born that way? Or was this because of something that, you know, growing up the way he did?
You know, they say superheroes aren't made, they're born.
Well, I'm not sure we call Ed Gein a superhero.
And I was going to say, and supervillains are also not born, they're made. Okay. I think, look, there's a through line of all of these serial killers. John Wayne Gacy, Gary Ridgway, Ed Gein, Robert Durst, Jeffrey Dahmer, they all had very disturbed childhoods and very terrifying upbringings where either their parents had depression or bipolar or attempted suicide or were murdered or did commit suicide or were super controlling. Yeah, there's always some sort of through line between all of these people, and most of them were never offered any sort of help or didn't receive any.
Or so, were told to like to suppress it and cover it up.
As most of us are told.
I have a problem when you lump yourself back in with the serial killers we're talking about.
I have to look down when it happens because I know my reaction is not going to be the best. So it's best just I look down and pretend I'm focusing on the next thing, my next transition.
Okay. Okay. But I will say Ed Gein is, like you said, he inspired a lot of movie characters and because he would dress up, he would wear the skins of these other people and skulls and pretend to be his mother, which is so mortifying.
And he left her room exactly the way it was when she died. So that's where the Norman Bates thing comes in. He left it that way and he dressed up like her. Yeah.
It was pristine and the rest of his house was in shambles.
Ugh. Put the lotion in the basket. So I'm thinking about that too.
I think, I don't know if you guys, have you ever heard of the Madonna horror complex?
No.
So the Madonna horror complex, lots of men I've dated have had this. It is. So the Madonna, I'm just going to keep saying Madonna horror. So Madonna horror complex is when men had a very complicated relationship with their mother growing up. And they see the mother or the person that they are in a relationship with as the respected figure. And then they see all other women as quote unquote whores or people they can have sex with. And then there is a disconnect between being able to be romantically interested in someone that you are physically interested in. And this, I feel like, is a very extreme case of that, where he respected his mother so much. And then, you know, he actually did admit to murdering at least one of the women that they, right? Or did he admit to both murders?
Well, they found the body of the one in his house.
Right. And then he kept, you know, being found insane and pleading insanity. But they found skulls, lampshades, chair upholsteries, waste baskets, all made from human skin. skinned women hanging on the bedroom wall, belt made of nipples, skulls on the bedposts, leggings, corsets made of skin, a box full of women's private parts. And he also admitted to digging up women. And so obviously he had a very complicated relationship with women because he wasn't murdering men from what I know.
No, it was always women. I think in his mind, nobody was going to be measuring up to his mother, or even though his mother was a disaster.
Ugh, this is so disturbing. So he murdered Berenice Worden. She was reported missing from her hardware store, and the cash register was also missing. And then they just followed a trail of blood. So
he also worked there, correct?
Sounds like that's true.
Yeah, sounds like.
Sounds like Teddy's on it. Teddy did her homework. And then the authorities went to his house that night and found her headless and gutted, and her body was hanging from the ceiling, which is disturbing to say the least. And he also admitted to practicing necrophilia. So again, I think we can very much chalk this up to an extreme case of Madonna horror complex, among other things, and mental illness. And he also murdered, didn't he murder, he murdered another woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Hogan. He murdered, you guys, I'm very with it today.
I can see, it's a good thing. It's really
good. Thank you. Thank you so much. He murdered another woman. And it's interesting because it was clear that he was devoted to his mom. But he literally almost never left home or dated other women except to murder people.
The fact that anybody was dating him, I don't know if that is that confirmed.
No, that he never dated women.
Oh, okay. Even to murder them, I wouldn't know that we would call this dating. I mean, you said he never dated women other than when he murdered them. Yeah, sounds like a fun first date.
Oh my God.
At what point? Like, I don't think it's considered a date, Leah. I'm deceased.
Leah, don't. Just don't respond to that, please.
Everything within me.
Solely to bring this all back in to Halloween, Leah and Dimitri, can you guys share your favorite Hollywood cult classic movies?
I got a spell on you, and now you're mine. Do you guys know what that's from?
No.
Hocus Pocus?
Oh, Hocus Pocus! They haven't even shown that this year on my TV.
But they're filming that's the second
crime.
One right that now.
That should be a crime. First of all, Bette Midler is a goddess, in my opinion.
Love.
Sarah Jessica Parker, early days.
Loved her. I still love her. She's the best. Okay, so that's your favorite. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite, Dimitri?
I don't know. I think I did like Psycho. But I think Nightmare on Elm Street I thought was cool because I liked the crossover between dreams and reality.
Dream.
Are we making a CD here? What's going on?
Did you say, are we making a CD?
I'm old, okay?
Teddy, why did you just become 100 years old?
I'm 150.
Guys, this new 8-track is going to be fantastic.
My first car was a Gremlin, and I had an 8-track in it.
Oh, Gremlins. That was a good movie.
Oh, I never saw it.
You guys are going to probably be a little upset with me considering I am one of the hosts of a true crime podcast. I do not like horror movies. I like true crime documentaries. I do not like horror movies. So I have never seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The first horror movie that I saw was Halloween, the new Halloween, because my friend Kyle's in it. And I was so frightened the whole time. I couldn't sleep all night. Like, I think you either have, like, and she did an amazing job. I think the movie's great. I just can't watch them and sleep at night. But why? Is there something wrong with me that I can watch true life ones?
Yes.
Like, doesn't that seem disturbing?
Yes. And also, I just want to let you know, I am going to be very vulnerable right now and tell you guys that I used to work in a haunted house.
A haunted, were you one of the, like at Universal, were you scared people?
No. Did you ever see Sleep No More in New York City, the immersive theater experience?
I must have missed that one.
I know of it, but I haven't seen it.
Teddy just shamed the entire theater industry with one sentence.
I'm like, I saw a Chorus Line.
Oh my God. All right. Well, you're not invited to my Broadway show. So it was an immersive theater show and it ran for September and October. This was a few years back now, obviously pre-pandemic, but it was very interesting learning about how to scare people, because there are lots of different types of horror. There's psychological horror. There's easy scares, like something that you would call a jump scare, where you literally just pop out and scare someone, you know, and those often are scarier to me than a psychological scare in the moment. But a psychological scare stays with you forever. And that's why Teddy is afraid of horror movies, because they are like psychological scares. But murder documentaries are kind of like jump scares, where it just gets you in the moment and you're like, ah, interesting. And then you forget about it. But then psychological horrors stay with you forever. And I think that's why you feel like you're a part of it and it never leaves you.
Well, that makes sense. But I can tell you that ever since joining this podcast, my husband's like, I am so frightened. I come home and you've got like papers everywhere. I see pictures of killers. You're like, look like you haven't slept in weeks. Like, I really, he's like, I feel like you're plotting to murder me. I'm like, especially when Leah throws Texas Chainsaw Massacre at me last minute, knowing I never saw it. I have no idea who Ed Gein is. I can't.
Okay, so what's your favorite movie, Teddy? Your favorite Halloween movie?
Like a Practical Magic type of Halloween gal.
That was a creepy movie.
That was creepy, but like it was like a love creepy like that. It felt more real to me. I can't like the blood and the guts. I can't do it. I did love Silence of the Lambs.
You loved it?
Well, I mean, I watched it more than once.
Oh my God. Wait, I'm sorry. Didn't Teddy just say that she can't watch horror films? And then
except for Silence of the Lambs, which is on loop in her house.
To me, horror films are like when it's gory and bloody. I like psychological thrillers.
That's also what my life is.
Well, we'll get into that next week, guys, because we've run out of time for today.
We have?
Yes.
Oh, we didn't even get to the Black Dahlia.
We didn't get to the Black Dahlia, which gives us me more time to research it before next week. But also, can you guys do us a favor and send us in any of your recommendations for your favorite Halloween movies, and we will post them on our gram, because ones that are kid appropriate as well, because for some of y'all moms out there that are like me, but kid appropriate and also the goriest of the gore.
I will say that I don't think that there are any horror movies that are appropriate for children. I watched an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark when I was a kid, and I remember telling my mom, fine, it doesn't upset me. And then, of course, I wasn't fine, and it did upset me, and I still have recurring nightmares. And it wasn't even that scary, just a child vanished into a vampire's cape for eternity. But other than that... I think it might explain a lot about me as a person and why I am the way I am. This episode was Off the Chainsaw Massacre. And I'm really...
I'm in a place. I was in a place when we started, and now I'm really in a place. On that note, guys, on that jingle...
Someone send Dimitri Advil.
We have to go for this week. But don't you worry. We'll be back. And send in your... Leah's like, I need to get another joke in. Give it to me.
This is mental illness. The fact that I refuse to let go.
You know how I am with time.
I know. You're very punctual. Can I just say, everyone, please call in 866-21-CRIME. That's not the official jingle, but
but it's
we're
the
still
official
working
number.
On it. It's our official number. Please call in, leave us messages. We'll even if you think of something clever. We'll even read them and answer them why we're here.
And that, again, is 866-21 crime. 21 is how old me and Teddy both are. So it'll be easy to remember. Dimitri.
Or the year 2021.
Oh, why do you have to be so
Dimitri,
literal?
What the f-?
I mean, I thought we were getting along today, but now you have to shade me at the end. But yeah, call us, you guys.
Because you already said your first car was a Gremlin. No one's going to be like, oh, she's 21. Sure, it makes
you
sense.
You guys realize
checks
how
out.
Hard you are to break up with at the end of the date? I mean, a podcast. Like, the ending is so... It's like pulling
literally...
Teeth. It's like pulling Brian Laundrie's teeth to get off the phone with you guys.
I am...
Speaking of which, just real fast, they have not let us know if the DNA in the partial remains, besides the teeth, are whether they are confirmed to be Brian Laundrie's or not. So we are still waiting on that information. And so stay tuned for next episode. We'll be digging into that for sure. But please do not leave a voicemail asking me on a date, because if you've listened to this podcast and you still want to date me, there's something wrong with you and I will not say yes.
And we can't count higher than a 5,000.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Bye.
It's real time crime. It's real time crime. It's real.
I mean, is it actually real time crime? Are we solving anything, or is that just a thing we say? It's a thing we say. Got it. Okay.
See you next week for more real time crime, only on iHeartRadio.